called. All right, talking a little baseball with us now is our good friend Matt Lodi from Cleveland, where he does the reports, does radio reports for the AP radio service, as well as running, of course, his fantastic website, NEOSportsInsiders.com. Mr. Lodi, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Not as good as Frankie Lindor.
Yeah. Wow, that was quite a night last night, you know. And the one thing I pointed out after that game is, you know, in the post-game interview on STO, is the maturity level of a guy who obviously is a budding superstar, not to put all the onus on himself, but, you know, basically say that he wanted to do it for his teammate, Danny Salazar, because he felt like he basically cost the team a big play in that fifth inning when he decided instead of throwing the ball to first base and getting out of the inning, he was going to try to outrun Sinchu too, and it cost him, you know. But, boy, did he come back in a big way, and what a night for Frankie, and then what a night for this Indians team. They have played well in the first three games.
You know what's interesting is they have, but they haven't. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
They had to come back. They had to come back and win two out of the three games, I believe. Wait a minute, they were trailing in all three at one point. I think they were trailing in all three games at one point.
Yeah, they were down 5-1 in the opener, and they were down, I think, 1-0 in game two. And then, of course, last night, they come back in the ninth inning. So, yeah, they came back in the ninth inning two times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and they're starting pitching very interesting because, you know, Corey Kluber gave up some bombs, three of them, in his work, but then settled in and pitched, you know, the last three innings tremendously and went six strong. Carlos Carrasco looked very, very good, even though he got touched a little bit. And Danny Salazar, you know, wasn't helped a lot, of course, by that defensive play there, which is another example of it. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, for being a team that's 3-0, and swept the Rangers, a potential playoff team, a team that some people feel like is going to win their division out there in the West. They didn't play their best baseball, and yet still look scary good.
Well, I think out of the three starting pitchers, the one I was most impressed with was Carrasco. I mean, the only real big hit he gave up in that game was the two-run bomb to Joey Gallo that I still think is in the air, actually. But, you know, the thing that Danny Salazar, you know, Salazar, he had a good fastball last night. His changeup was good. Gave up a couple walks. You know, the four walks was a little bit of a concern. And then, as you mentioned with Corey Kluber, you know, he gave up a couple of bombs to Odor in that first couple innings there and got behind 5-1. You know, it's so early, though, Bob, as you mentioned in the open about the girl with the head down and everything like that. I mean, no matter what, you know, obviously you want to win games early. And as they call, you know, Terry Francona and the Indians, they call it stacking wins or, you know, and getting winning series and things like that. And they did that, obviously, in Texas. But, you know, it's so early to jump to any big conclusions here, and I know Buster only tweeted out last night something about, you know, wow, you know, this team is, you know, with the best bullpen and the best starting pitching and this offense. But again, it's early, you know, and but it is obviously you want to win games, and they did that. And I think the other thing too that, you know, and I heard this throughout the course of the broadcast all three nights, was they just don't seem to be fazed by getting behind early or by giving up a couple of runs, you know. And I think that that's a confidence thing, and I think we learned that last year when this team was able to go into the postseason and kind of not really face adversity, of course, until the World Series. And, you know, and obviously they had the advantage there as well until it all kind of fell apart after game four. But, you know, when you look at this team and you look at what their ability is, and you also look at the fact that they've added pieces and parts, you just have to be impressed with you know, how this at least early on looks, and now they get a chance to have a day off before they go out and play an Arizona team that, you know, could give them some problems, and then they get finally a chance to come home and really start this thing, in my opinion, kind of for real, I guess, if you will, with the Central Division, because they'll get to see the White Sox, and then, of course, the team that I still think is going to be a challenge to them in the Detroit Tigers.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm going to ask you about the Detroit Tigers in just a moment to talk about who you think the biggest challenge will be in the Central Division for the defending champions of that division and of the American League. Before we do that, though, let's talk about a couple of guys. Michael Brantley, I think 3 weeks ago, maybe, not too many people would have given him a chance to be on the opening day roster, let alone be starting on day one. There was a belief, or at least a fear, that the rehab that he's been undergoing for well over a year just was still not, you know, making him feel just right, and he might have opened the season on the DL again. And then suddenly, I don't know what happened to him or for him, but whatever needed to happen did, and it was almost overnight. Suddenly, he starts playing in spring training games, getting some at-bats, swinging the bat incredibly well, throwing the ball pain-free, everything going on. And now he looks like the all-star that he was 2 years ago before all this happened.
Yeah, there's no question that obviously he turned a corner at some point in spring training, like you mentioned. And again, there, you know, nobody's really gotten a pinpoint timetable as to when that happened. But, you know, sometimes your body, you know, just finally kind of clicks again. And I think for Michael, that's a big key for him. And again, I think the fact that, you know, he doesn't look tentative, which is something that all last year we kept hearing about, you know, well, what if, and now he's able to come out and I think swing pain free. I think he's only going to get better, Bob. I really do. I think that, you know, as long as obviously things continue in this upward trend for him, he's going to be just fine. I mean, again, I know that it's early and it's only three games, but the fact that he was able to play in two of them, again, relatively pain free, I think, you know, doesn't appear to have any lingering issues. If he can get that swing going again and really get moving as far as, you know, the bat speed and everything like that, I think he's going to be just fine. You know, I kind of look back to one moment in spring training that I remember vividly was when he hit that two-run home run, I believe it was, against the Dodgers in a spring training game, his first home run in a long time. And it just seems ever since then, again, once you get that corner turned, I think for him it's just going to be bigger and better. And I think, again, it's going to take a little while. Like, you can't impress on the guy to, you know, to hit 350 and do what he did 2 years ago when he was an all-star, but it certainly looks like he is swinging better. Let's just put it that way, and hopefully that continues for him.
Matt Loda joining us from NEOSportsInsiders.com and the Associated Press in Cleveland. One more quick question on the Indians after their three-game sweep. You know, you heard about, or I'm sorry, you mentioned Buster Olney talking about best starting rotation in baseball, certainly in the American League, and probably best bullpen as well. Why is it that I continue to have fear every time Cody Allen comes on?
Because he's an Indians closer.
I tweeted in all capital letters on what is today, Thursday?
Tuesday night.
Game
yeah.
two. And he gave up the back-to-back doubles, including the run-scoring double to Knapp, to Mike Napoli.
Yeah. Yep.
And I tweeted in all capital letters, Cody scares me, clap, 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 clap. And he does, because... And people instantly jumped on me. Would you rather have Bob Wickman? No. Would you rather have Joe Borowski? No. I'm not saying he's not better than those guys. But I just feel, I mean, maybe it was particularly at that moment in time, because he got up early 0-2 on Napoli after the leadoff double. And obviously, you know, put something out of the strike zone. Make him chase something high. Make him chase something wide. But do not throw the guy a strike. And he threw a knee-high strike that Napoli just crushed. And he's lucky he hit it to the deepest part of the park. Otherwise, it would have been out. And instead, it turns into the second. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Why are you throwing that pitch? And it just made me nervous. Now, we all know what happened. He went on to strike out the side. The next three batters, bang, bang, bang. And it's like all is well with the world. But there's still part of me that just gets very, very nervous, and part of me that wonders, and I will never question Terry Francona's use of a bullpen, because we saw what he did so masterfully last year, but part of me that wonders if that shouldn't be Andrew Miller's spot.
Well, you're not in the minority there, Bob. I mean, I think a lot of people feel that at some point this season, whether it's because of ineffectiveness, because of injury, or just because of circumstances, Andrew Miller is going to get a decent amount of opportunities to close games. And I think you see, when you look at the situation with these four guys, Brian Shaw, Cody Allen, Andrew Miller, and even Boone Logan, I think you've got four guys there that can potentially close a game. And I think that, you know, that really speaks again volumes about how this team is built to win and built to win now, because you can kind of interchange those guys at any point in time. Now, Cody Allen, by definition, is the closer, and I don't think that's going to change per se anytime soon, but we even saw it last night. I mean, that, you know, Francona, I know they're up three runs and that should be pretty safe, but, you know, against a Texas team that we obviously saw in the first three games can hit the baseball pretty well themselves, you know, they put Brian Shaw in there and he comes in and gets a quick three outs and the game's over. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be a stretch to say not only Andrew Miller, but again, Logan and Brian Shaw are going to get some opportunities, you know, and it's interesting to me because, you know, Terry Francona has said this for a long time. Year to year, bullpens, you know, pretty much change. You know, I mean, the closer usually set in stone, and then, you know, you hope to have a setup guy. I don't remember a bullpen for the Indians this deep in a long time. I mean, again, Shaw, Logan, I mean, Zach McAllister. You know, you've got guys that can do things in that bullpen, and I just think it's exciting because, you know, if a Danny Salazar or a Josh Tomlin or one of those starters can only go 4 to 5 innings, it's not a lost cause. Where in years past, you know, if those starters didn't go 6 or 7, you were in a lot of trouble. Where, as we saw he did in the playoffs last year, all he was asking out of those guys is, give me to the 5th inning and we'll take it over from there. And they did that and obviously got to the pinnacle of the World Series before losing it. But I think you're right. I think that Cody's going to scare people. And if there's a night when he's not effective, I don't think Jerry's going to hesitate to take him out before losing a game and say, hey, let's go to Andrew, let's go to Shaw or Logan if one of those guys is available still.
Matt Lodi talking a little baseball with us. Before we talk about the Tigers and the rest of the Central Division, as we get kind of looking into the season, even though it's already started, we're still pretty much at the very beginning of it. Jim Cushion's got a question for you on this. Jimmy, go ahead.
You know, and kind of a follow-up on some of the bullpen things, and obviously, you know, I agree with you guys, especially you, Matt. This is as deep as it can be, and the Boone Logan signing might turn out to be one of the sneaky little signings by anybody from this offseason. But to follow up on kind of the bullpen things, I think these first three games is also a nice microcosm of what we're going to see. Part of the reason, let's face it, guys, that it was Brian Shaw, three-run leader, not last night, was because he had used Miller and Allen each of the two days before. And the big thing we always are mentioning to people when the subject comes up is don't picture what happened in October. Nobody's going to want to have these guys blown out by, you know, August. So you're going to have these guys, I think, in situations that sometimes workload of the past couple days will also be a factor in here. And so I kind of like that. And I think we saw a little bit of microcosm of what this pen will be looking like just in these three games.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question when you look at the fact, and one guy we didn't even mention there who had a huge year last year out of the bullpen was Dan Otero. I mean, there's a guy that, you know, I didn't even bring his name up because, again, you look at that bullpen and you look how deep it is. And, you know, obviously, you know, trust me, Terry Francona and this organization, they don't want to have to do what they did in the playoffs every night this year. They don't want to have to do what they did in the first two games. In a perfect world, Danny Salazar, Josh Tomlin, you know, Bauer, whoever's on the mound, Kluber, they want those guys to go 7 innings, and they, you know, every once in a while have to bring in a guy in the 6th or 5th. But in a perfect world, these starters should be able to log more innings than what they have the first three nights. It's just that, you know, Kluber runs into trouble night one. Carrasco gives up the 2-run bomb in game two, and he still went 6 innings. And then last night, Salazar went 5 2/3. Not terrible, but again, I think as these guys get more comfortable and more into the groove, you know, the hope is that the starters can go 6 or 7, and then at that point you could turn it over to the guys like we mentioned, Otero, Logan, and then obviously Shaw, Allen, and Miller also in the mix as well.
All right, Matt, let's talk about the Central Division. I think everybody knows the Indians are the favorite to not only repeat as division champions, but probably, I mean, I don't know, the Red Sox, the Astros, or some other teams that are dangerous in the American League for the Indians to defend their American League flag. But who do you see as the primary threat in the Central, first of all? Is it the Tigers?
I still think it's the Tigers, Bob. I mean, I'm not convinced for one second that this team isn't going to still try to, you know, make a big move in July if they need to. And you know, and the thing with them is, you know, you can never rest on guys like Cabrera, guys like Kinsler, you know, even V-Mart. I still think this is a good team. And, you know, I know they've undergone some transitions both in their rotation as well as the bullpen. But, you know, I mean, don't fall asleep on these guys. You know, I still think that there's some talent lurking in that system right there. And I know that, you know, that, again, the J.D. Martinez injury just like a year ago is going to hurt them early. You know, but they got guys like Andrew Romine who can come off the bench and play four different positions. And as I mentioned earlier, when you got Cabrera and V-Mart, and again, Kinsler's pretty good there at second base, I still think this is the second-best team in the division. I know some people have actually picked the Tigers to find a way to win this division again. I don't think that's going to happen, per se. But at the same time, don't fall asleep on them. I think they're going to be in the mix. I don't think they're going to win the division. I think it's the Indians' division by far to win. But I still think Detroit is the second-best team in this division.
Are they good enough to be a wild-card team, to be a close second?
Yeah, I think they'll be in the mix for that, absolutely. Again, I, you know, you look around the majors, and there's always a surprise team or two. I know you mentioned Houston. That's an up-and-coming team. Certainly everybody seems to love the Red Sox out of the East. But, you know, there's some teams lurking there. But Detroit, again, you've got so much offensive firepower. I think they can score 5-6 runs a night if need be. Sometimes, you know, they're going to get shut down here and there. But as I mentioned before, you know, it doesn't appear that Miguel Cabrera is going anywhere anytime soon. And you know, as I mentioned, Kinsler and J.D. Martinez, when he gets back, and Romine and V-Mart, those guys, I mean, that's still a quality lineup and a lineup that's going to have to be dealt with. So, yeah, absolutely, I think they could be in that wild card mix out of the American League.
You know, as I try to do like a composite of the national predictors, you know, on the national stage for baseball's division champions and so on and so forth, I think I've seen just as many pick the Astros to win the West as I have the Rangers.
Sure.
And I think it's been pretty much those two Texas teams. And in the East, the vast majority seem to say Red Sox. So Indians,
yeah.
Red Sox, Rangers, Astros, those are kind of the, you know, the top clubs, at least according to the aggregate of the predictions. Do you agree with those? And which of those do you think is most likely to go to the World Series out of the American League?
Well, I do like, you know, Houston and Texas. Those are two good quality competitive teams. You know, let's not forget, you know, the Rangers, while, you know, things obviously went very south for them as far as Sam Dyson and all that is concerned, two out of the last three nights they're in Arlington for the Indians, you know, taking advantage of that. They've got some guys on the shelf right now, especially guys out of their pen that are injured. They're going to get healthy. They're going to be fine. They're still a team that can hit the baseball. You know, they had the best record in the American League last year, so let's not, you know, just obviously push that aside. They're still a good team. And, you know, again, they didn't get off to the best of starts against the Tribe, but they're going to be there in the end. I love what Houston's bringing to the table. I think they're an up-and-coming team, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. And, again, Boston. You can't, you know, I mean, you go out, you get Chris Sale, you know, Jackie Bradley, Xander Bogaerts. I mean, they've got good players all over the place on that team. And even though I still think they're gonna miss not having the leadership of a David Ortiz, pretty much that's the consensus there. I think I don't think you can fall asleep on a team like Baltimore because they can hit the baseball, even though I don't know if I trust their starting pitching. And, you know, I think out of those teams you mentioned, if the Indians aren't the favorite to go to the World Series, boy, I think it's got to be Boston because, again, they've got a good mix of offense and defense. And as far as their pitching staff is concerned, you know, again, you've got four guys in there. You got a Porcello, you got a Sale, you got a Price. I mean, they've got a really good rotation. So if it's not the Indians, and I do think it's going to be the Indians, but if it isn't, I think you'd have to give it to Boston.
Quickly on the National League, just to kind of give a little predictor there, can anybody play with the Cubbies, or is it kind of a foregone conclusion? I mean, the Nationals still are very, very loaded. They got a tremendous lineup.
Yeah.
They got a lot of pitching as well. You know, the Dodgers, I think, are going to be right there as well. But, you know, the Cubs are every bit as deep and as good and as talented as they were last year when they won the whole thing.
Yeah, just kind of like in the NBA with the Warriors and the Cavs. I mean, it would not surprise me again to see the Indians and Cubs. I just think those are the two best teams in baseball, at least on paper. And you know, and again, they can play with anybody on any given night. I do like what I see out of Washington. I think that's a sleeping giant. I know that, you know, they've been there the last couple of years, but just haven't been able to get over the hump. And, you know, you mentioned the Dodgers, another team that people, you know, they just kind of forget about and they kind of slide to the pack there. But those are to me the three best teams in the National League. I look at teams like, you know, San Diego, Milwaukee, Atlanta. I mean, none of those teams, the Reds, none of them can really compete at all, if you will, with those other teams. St. Louis is an interesting team because, you know, they're a team, they remind me a little bit of the Rays from years ago. People fall asleep on them and all of a sudden they look up in September and they're right there in the mix, at least for a wild card spot. I don't know if they have the offense, but they're not a terrible team. But clearly it's the Cubs, followed by the Nationals and the Dodgers in the National League, in my opinion.
Matty, Jim's got one more for you. Go ahead, Jim.
I want to get
back
to one thing on the American League side, if I could, because this is the one spot where I found myself in disagreement with a ton of people. No, I'm not overreacting because of the last 3 days. I don't like Texas. I think that division is Houston and Seattle and then Texas. And to me is, yes, I know they haven't had a bunch of injuries dealt with last year and still have a few this year to start. But let's remember, guys, this is a team that was only plus 9 or plus 8 in overall run differential last year. They led the American League in wins because of their record in the close games, the one-run games. But by just runs scored runs allowed, they should have only been about 83 and 79 last year. And I think some of that kind of stuff is going to come back to earth. Am I off base thinking that?
Well, I mean, I like, again, I do like what they bring to the table offensively. And you've got some young players in there like Odor and company and Gallo. You know, they're going to hit the baseball. And I think, again, that there's a maturity level there with that ball club. As you mentioned, there is injuries they've been dealing with. Hopefully they get healthy for them, their sake in that regard. You know, it's hard to really predict because, again, you can't really talk about these close games because you don't know when they're going to happen. You know, I do like some of the guys they're rolling out. I think Darvish is going to have a better year this year. I think Cole Hamels is going to have more of a complete year. So I think Texas will be in the mix. Seattle's one of those teams, boy, you love what they bring talent-wise, but they just don't seem to play up to potential. And, you know, maybe this year will be different for them. I don't know. But I still think it's a Houston-Texas division. You could flip-flop that either way. But, you know, again, this is why they're going to play 162, because you never know when a team like you mentioned, Seattle may come out of the mix and, you know, knock Texas off the plate and maybe put them down to a second or third place finish.
Matt Lodi of NEOSportsInsiders.com and from the AP out of Cleveland. Matt, thanks for your breakdown on baseball after just a first series for most teams, even though the Tigers are just now playing game number two because of the two rainouts. But thanks for the breakdown. It's always fun catching up with you, and we look forward to doing so throughout the baseball season.
My pleasure, Bob. Anytime.
Thank you, Matt. There you go. Matt Lodi joining us right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket, talk a little Major League and more specifically American League Central. American League Central Baseball.